The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba presents the 27th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill Kickoff with your host, Phil Houck.
A home opener, 3,613 miles from home. Notre Dame is listed as the home team for this week's opener against Navy. That's a bit ironic when you consider that Dublin, Ireland is thousands of miles from Notre Dame Stadium. But you don't have to look at this trip too close to see that Notre Dame does indeed have a home on the Emerald Isle. Notre Dame's Fighting Irish identity is, of course, well documented, and Dublin has been the site of two previous Notre Dame contests, both against Navy. In 1996, Lou Holtz was in charge when the Fighting Irish traveled to Dublin for the first ever collegiate football game played in Ireland. The game was contested at historic Croke Park in front of nearly 39,000 fans. The duo of Autry Denson and Mark Edwards combined for five touchdowns, and the Irish racked up 303 yards on the ground as the Irish prevailed that day 54-27. In 2012, at Aviva Stadium, this time in front of a capacity crowd of 51,700, the Irish again ran wild, this time for 293 yards on the ground. Theo Riddick and George Atkinson III scored two touchdowns each, and Stefan Tuitt picked up a Navy fumble and returned it 77 yards for another score. The Irish again won big, this time 50-10. That game served as a springboard for the Irish, as the team went on to an undefeated regular season, was ranked number one in the nation by mid-November, and played in the BCS championship game. This week's game in Dublin was originally scheduled for 2020, but the pandemic had other ideas. And that brings us to 2023, and sky-high blue and gold and green expectations are in the air. Sam Hartman, Audric Estime, a loaded offensive line, and a host of veterans on defense. Notre Dame football kicks off its 133rd season this week, and the journey will begin thousands of miles away. But it will be in a place where the Fighting Irish have reason to feel right at home. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, now with locations on Illinois, Leo, and DuPont Roads, and in Georgetown Square. Guadalupe's, food made fresh. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight from America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, Shear McCulloch Auctioneers, and Flight by Yuengling. 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories. It's the next generation of light beer. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass, raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Tim Priester, it's our 27th year together, 27th season opener coming up. So let's talk ND 2023 opening this week in Dublin, Ireland. Let's talk about the theme, though, of the last few weeks of training camp, and it's been an interesting one. Tim, for me, and I think you'll agree, two things that come to mind, and you may have some other things, but I think these words will ring true with you. The things that come to mind are violence and trash talking. Physicality emphasis in this camp has been off the chart. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think all you have to do is look at the depth chart and you see that defensive line averages about 10, 11 pounds more than it did last year. That's one part of it. And as far as the violence and the physicality, that's just been a big part of what the preseason practices were like when the media was allowed to view them. The trash talking part, I think it's just kind of taking the muzzle off guys and letting them be themselves. Marcus Freeman said as long as it doesn't cross a line and hurt them in any way, he's okay with that. So you're hearing more of that. But the main thing is the physicality. This is a, it's a veteran defense, and now you have a, quote, veteran defensive coordinator because you got a guy that came back for the second year in a row. Last year, the junior, seniors, and fifth-year seniors on defense were all with their third defensive coordinator in 3 years. So I think that has a lot to do with the cohesion of the secondary, the entire defense. In the secondary, you've added two very physical players in Thomas Harper and Antonio Carter at safety, both big hitters. And that's just been the talk of preseason camp. The interior defensive line is more physical than we anticipated. So they're ready to go. I don't know that this will immediately show up. It should against an opponent like Navy, but the arrow is pointing up in terms of violence and physicality and even a little bit of trash talking too.
Well, yeah, you know, and as Marcus Freeman pointed out, and it may have been from a question you asked the other day, he says, when asked about this physicality and this emphasis in this camp, he says, you're talking about men going 20-something miles per hour with pads on. It's a collision sport. You've got to be courageous to play this game. I think he said something like that. And when you put it in those terms, yeah, it is definitely a violent game. And to be the best, you got to up that quotient. And I think that's been his goal, and I think that's what's happened. Tim, is there any advantage now going to Navy, going to Dublin Island? That's exciting. Third time in Notre Dame history they've been able to do that. But is there any advantage to getting Navy in week one of your schedule when you think about that? Because Notre Dame can focus on that odd option offense that they're going to have to deal with in this game. Is that an advantage, having a little extra time?
Absolutely, because by Tuesday of last week, they were working on Navy stuff. You could see the drills that they were running, scraping down the line to defend the third option of the triple option, which is the pitch to the wingback. They were doing that, 11 days in advance of the game, as opposed to, four in advance of the game. So it's definitely beneficial. I think if Notre Dame had their way, they would probably open with Navy every year as opposed to the middle of the season, unless you have a bye week before Navy. I'm not sure how often that's happened, but yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you can say that, hey, Navy has all this time to prepare for Notre Dame too, but just because of the specialization of their offense. Now, they want to throw it a little bit more. We'll talk about that as we go along, but they're still triple option based, and there's no doubt that opening with Navy is better than catching them in the middle of the season.
Yeah, new faces on the coaching staff there, at least in the head man's role, and we will talk about that later. But it's still going to be an option attack, but it might be a little more open than usual. Now let's go down with a position by position preview of the team. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, Tim, and let's talk about the offensive line. Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, Zeke Correll is a pretty good place to start, obviously, but there's been some surprises as to just who's won those guard positions.
Yeah, Pat Coogan beat out Billy Shrouth, and that's on the left side of the line of scrimmage. And then Rocco, they're both a surprise. I mean, Rocco Spindler has beaten out Andrew Christofic and a bunch of freshmen. We were anticipating Billy Shrouth largely because in an interview with nose tackle Howard Cross III last December, he just raved about how good Billy Shrouth was going to be. So we went into the spring anticipating him winning the job. And I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Shrouth who's a redshirt freshman. First of all, he's going to be a really good player, whether he's starting now or not. But I wouldn't be surprised if Coogan struggles a little bit that we would see Shrouth. But Spindler has come a long, long way. Again, physicality comes into play. And I think his biggest break was the change of offensive line coaches from Harry Hiestand to Joe Rudolph. You know, some players respond differently from one style of coaching to another. Harry Hiestand was a pretty relentless attacking coach. Joe Rudolph is a little bit more teaching. When I say that, I don't mean that Harry Hiestand didn't teach, but he's got a lot more patience when it comes to his teaching. Harry Hiestand was old school, and he turned out a lot of great offensive linemen. But Rocco Spindler responded better to Joe Rudolph, and he's won the starting job.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go down to the rest of the offense, and let's talk about these maybe in a little quick hit style. Tight end, Michael Mayer, the world's greatest college football tight end, is gone. Mitchell Evans, one of the heroes of the Gator Bowl, expected to play a big role. Who else is going to step up at that position?
Yeah, definitely Holden Stays. I would say Evans Stays are the 1-2 guys. Evans is more the blocking guy. Stays is somebody that could realistically be the second or third leading receiver on the team.
Okay, that would be exciting to see. Now, wide receiver is obviously an area that was a big question mark all of last season, really. But this season, Jaden Thomas and a lot of potential. Talk about the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think Jaden Thomas leads it. There's a couple young guys there, and Jaden Greathouse and Rico Flores that are going to be prominent. Chris Tyree moved from running back and now is a receiver. Matt Salerno will be involved. The key is two guys with high ceilings, Tobias Merriweather and Deion Colsey, just didn't do a whole lot during the preseason. Those guys have high ceilings. They need them to develop. It's nice to have a guy like Sam Hartman throwing them the football.
Absolutely. And Chris Tyree, of course, making the transition to slot from running back, apparently caught 20,000 passes this past summer. So he's been working on that. Running back position, Logan Diggs went back home and is now at LSU. But Audric Estime and a lot of talent is still in South Bend. Besides Estime, how's that depth chart look?
This running backs room is loaded. Jadarian Price, Devin Ford, Jabron Payne has made a move during the preseason. And then true freshman Jeremiah Love is the fastest of the group. A lot of interchangeable parts, but obviously Audric Estime leads the way.
Yeah, that a very promising position for sure. And finally, quarterback. What does Sam Hartman bring that the Irish haven't had for probably quite some time? And all reports look like Steve Angeli is solidly the number two. Is that the way it looks?
Absolutely. Steve Angeli's performed very well. Kenny Michie has. I mean, we saw one scrimmage. All three of them performed well, even though some of the receivers didn't. Angeli has won that job. Hartman brings, I don't know, about 1,000 college completions, 13,000 yards, and 110 touchdowns, and the ability to go through progressions, find the open receiver. Notre Dame fans are going to see a much different level of quarterback play in 2023.
And he's won the locker room over rather quickly. And he got elected, announced as a captain last week, which makes him technically a four-time captain because he was a captain 3 years at Wake Forest. That's remarkable. Okay, let's talk defense. Lots of talent here, and arguably some depth has been developed, but there are question marks. Defensive line, you already mentioned them in the first question of this segment, but gone Isaiah Foskey and the Adam Eola brothers. I sense this group might be pretty good, though, Tim, but there are question marks. Talk about the defensive line.
Well, I think they're particularly strong in the interior defensive line. You have starters Howard Cross and Riley Mills, and then you have two real up-and-comers in Jason Anye, pardon me, Gabe Rubio. Gabe Rubio has really stepped up, so they've got a solid foursome there on the inside. I think the biggest question is Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jordan Botello. Can they provide the type of pass rush that Isaiah Foskey and sometimes Justin Adamolola as well? That's a bigger question mark, but they're strong. They're a lot stronger at the point of attack, and you're going to win a lot of football games if you're winning the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay. And moving on to the linebacker position, starting group of Jack Kaiser, J.D. Bertrand, and Maris Leofau, very, very experienced. They should be solid. What are your thoughts as to who comes off the bench after them?
Well, I love that starting core. I think it's top notch. After that, and we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with Noller Ziegler. He missed really all of camp for personal reasons. He is back around the program. And then after that, Jalen Snead's listed as a linebacker, but he's a guy that will help those defensive ends rushing off the edge, as will Maris Leafau. And then you have a couple, you have Drake Bowen, a freshman, Jaden Osbury, a freshman. They would like to get them in there because it's a long season to rely on, you know, just three guys like Leafau, Kaiser, and Bertrand.
Okay, solid starting three, and then Irish developing some young depth behind those three. Tim, the safety position, that was a big question mark. But I think after looking at what's happened in camp, it actually looks like it could be a position of strength.
Yeah, the arrival of Thomas Harper, who's going to play nickel, but he's also listed as a safety from Oklahoma State, and Antonio Carter II from Rhode Island, two big-time players, physical players, and then they join, you know, veteran Xavier Watts, DJ Brown. I think Ramon Henderson is right on the verge here as well. So it's a, you know, it's a, that once again, that's another area where I don't know that we were anticipating that the safeties would be as deep and talented as they are, but the infusion of talent with those couple of transfers, plus a Xavier Watts emerging as a standout. It's a really good unit.
Yeah, and it looks like it could be a very physical group, which is something that obviously Marcus Freeman was looking for. All right, finally, the corners. Ben Morrison, a breakout freshman last year, and Cam Hart, who is now healthy. That's quite a duo.
Dynamic, really, really dynamic. A great starting pair. And then you feel really good about the backups and Jaden Mickey, who struggled frequently last year as a true freshman, but he will benefit from that. And then Clarence Lewis is kind of a wild card jack of all trades that they move around to a variety of places. You'll see Clarence Lewis a lot against Navy in the 4-4-3 defense, more of an outside linebacker. He's just that versatile. So that entire secondary and really that entire defense, if they can generate a pass rush, this is going to be a really, really good defense.
Okay, well, let's talk about how that good defense might benefit the Irish, because the Irish have an interesting schedule, and try and handle this like a quick hit, and I know that's a tough one, but three top 10 teams they're going to have to face this year. What's the over-under on wins for this team?
I think Vegas has it at 8.5, which is probably a good number, or maybe 9.5. Maybe it should be 9.5. Yeah, three top 10 teams. And then the trickiness of going to NC State 2 weeks after Ireland, having to play Duke at Duke the week after Ohio State, then having to go to Louisville with a new coach and a passing offense, the physicality of Pittsburgh after playing USC with a bye week in between, and Wake Forest has been a good team. They virtually play all the top teams in the ACC, Clemson, of course, being the best. They don't play Florida State. But most of those other teams are the upper echelon of the ACC this year.
Well, Ohio State, Clemson, and USC, those will make or break the Irish this year. Hopefully, though, they can navigate that ACC schedule. One last quick hit, Tim. Name two freshmen, true freshmen, who are most likely to have an impact.
Definitely Jaden Greathouse. Definitely Rico Flores. If Tobias Greathouse is in the rotation, if not starting, co-starting with Chris Tyree. If Tobias Merriweather doesn't rise up, Rico Flores will take his place.
All right. And how about somebody on defense?
Defensively, maybe one of those, Christian Gray. It's really crowded at cornerback, but he's a really good football player. In a normal year when Notre Dame normally likes to have a freshman, you know, pop in there and play a lot, I would say Christian Gray and then those freshman linebackers that I mentioned.
Okay. High hopes for the Irish this year, without a doubt. And that's your preview of the 2023 team. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 383rd edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Shearer McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Shearer McCulloch comes in with a full-service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Shearer McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Shearer McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Shearer McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus they're AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Shearer McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Clipper Smith, a Notre Dame All-American lineman who played in the first ever game against Navy in 1927, was 5'9" and weighed 164 pounds. This year's starting front five for the Irish average, 6'6", 312 pounds. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
Flight by Yingling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yingling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yingling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yingling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The preseason number 13 Irish take on Navy in Dublin, Ireland this week. TV coverage on NBC starts at 2:30 p.m. South Bend time. And it's now time for the all-time Irish hero. Brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage, Chris Craft, Mastercraft, Vanderbilt, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. Last year, Fighting Irish Preview focused on the Fighting Irish quarterbacks since 1988. This season, we're going to start out with an ND great, who passed away at the age of 98 just a few weeks ago. 1947 Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Lujack. A Notre Dame legend, Lujack led Notre Dame to three national championships. His ND career started in 1942 after an outstanding multi-sport high school career in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. As a sophomore for the Irish in 1943, he came off the bench after six games to fill in at quarterback for another Heisman Trophy winner, Angelo Bertelli, who had been drafted into the Marine Corps. That Notre Dame team finished 9-1, and Lujack had his first national championship. Next, after spending 3 years fighting in World War II, Lujack returned to Notre Dame in 1946, and for the next two seasons, with him at quarterback, defensive back, and linebacker, the Irish never lost. They went 8-0-1 in 1946 and 9-0 in 1947. Lujack was a consensus All-American both seasons, and both those teams were awarded the national championship. And after the 47 season, Lujack won the Heisman Trophy. At Notre Dame, Lujack amazingly won monograms in four sports: football, baseball, basketball, and track. After a successful but short career with the Chicago Bears, Leahy returned to Notre Dame as a coach in 1952 and was a contender to succeed Frank Leahy at head coach in 1954, a job that eventually went to Terry Brennan. Tim, Johnny Lujack was one of those names from Notre Dame history that when you hear it, it just seems to invoke a sense of awe.
Yeah, 98 years old, God bless him, a gem of a human being. I never had the opportunity to meet him, but everybody that I've ever known that knew Johnny Lujack praised him. It would have been interesting, Phil, wouldn't it have been, had he been named the head coach? I know Terry Brennan had success early on and wasn't able to maintain it, but I wonder what it would have been like to have Johnny Lujack as Notre Dame's head football coach.
Yeah, well, that was what I think Lujack was thinking when he left the Bears after a successful season, but just after four seasons, came back to coach under Leahy, and after 2 years, it came down to either Lujack or Terry Brennan. The job went to Terry Brennan, and Johnny Lujack went into the car business as a Chevrolet dealer and made a bunch of money there. Johnny Lujack, another Marina at Lake Gage all-time Irish hero. The Marina at Lake Gage, we love boats, and it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish Victory. Navy is under new head coach and last season's defensive coordinator, Brian Newberry. They returned 17 starters off a team that put a serious scare into the Irish last year before falling short after a furious second-half comeback,
35 to 32. Navy overall, however, has fallen on some hard times. They have not had a winning season since 2019 and finished last year at 4-8. On defense last year, Navy ranked high in many national categories, including second in rushing defense. Gone is their leading tackler, linebacker John Marshall, but returning intact is the defensive line, both interior linebackers and the secondary. Offensively, Newberry has brought in Kennesaw State coordinator Grant Chestnut, who is a product of triple option guru Paul Johnson's coaching tree. The word out of Navy, however, is that Chestnut will indeed open things up a bit in the passing game. That may not mean much, however. In 2022, Navy averaged just 10 passes per game, so expect plenty of triple option football. Fullback Dabo Fulana returns after a breakout 2022 season in which he rushed for 769 yards and 6 TDs. Navy does return some experience at quarterback in Ty Lavate and Xavier Arline, but expect to see action from sophomore Blake Horvath, who is said to be the best passer of the group. Last year, Navy nearly pulled off that upset comeback by going into an all-out every-down blitz package in the second half. The strategy handcuffed a slow-to-react Drew Pine and shut the Irish down. That same strategy will be available once again to Navy. However, Sam Hartman should be much better at making quick decisions in the passing game and be able to exploit a high-pressure approach if it comes again. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
Yeah, Phil, I think it all comes down to how Notre Dame handles the line of scrimmage from an offensive line standpoint. And it's exactly for the reasons that you mentioned. In the second half, Brian Newberry attacked Notre Dame's offensive front. Notre Dame has two brand new offensive guards. It's going to be a real challenge. As you mentioned, having Sam Hartman at quarterback is going to make a huge difference in the decision making. But yeah, there's a reason why Navy allowed 3.01 yards per carry. And it was their ability to attack the line of scrimmage. Notre Dame and Sam Hartman need to deal with that. The offensive guards need to deal with that. If you can pick up some of those blitzes, you can pull Navy out of their blitz game. Notre Dame beat Navy on the blitz in the first half of that game, but they're going to have to do a better job in the second game. So win at the point of attack against a very aggressive defensive approach.
Okay, handle that Navy defensive line, and that's going to be the offensive line's job for the Irish, and that is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
Well, I think Audric Estime, you know, if Notre Dame can do a good job of picking up those blitzes, he's going to get the ball early and often. I mentioned what a deep running back core Notre Dame has this year. Certainly the key is that offensive line, but I think Notre Dame is going to have the answer to some of those blitz, and Audric Estime is going to pop through that line and break off one run, maybe two long runs.
Fans, if you can believe it, Audric Estime looked even more fit and impressive and intimidating when he came into camp this year, and he's always been known as a physical specimen. And Audric Estime is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the injury report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into game one?
Starting center Zeke Correll is a little bit hobbled, didn't really get back in action until this week with a left ankle sprain. Otherwise, pretty good. Kevin Ballman, unfortunately, all the knee problems that he has had, he's out for the season once again with a torn ACL, as is Aiden Gobira, a redshirt freshman defensive end that probably wasn't going to contribute a whole lot early in this season. So, really, all things considered, when we talk about the physicality of preseason camp, with the exception of Zeke Correll, and he should be fine by Saturday. Notre Dame's in pretty good shape to start the 2023 season.
And Jadarian Price, who showed so much promise last year but then tore his Achilles during the summer, is he back, and he's going to contribute at running back?
Yeah, listen, I'm knocking on wood here. Yeah, he is back. He's had no problems through camp. He was full go from the very beginning. Is a physical back with some burst. He's a key. He should be the first guy off the bench to replace Estime, but again, they're deep there and they have a lot of good options.
They do indeed, and Jadarian Price is a name that I think you might be hearing a lot of. Thanks, Tim. That is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report, and it's now time for the world-famous Irish Illustrated Prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk and with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, Vegas has the Irish by 20 points. What does America's foremost authority say?
Well, I named Audric Estime as the key player, and part of that is because I'm sure I'm going to be choosing Sam Hartman a lot this season. And really, you know, he is the guy that's in a position to really hurt Navy's defense. And you know, if you just do a good job of picking up the blitz, Sam Hartman is going to find an open man. So I expect Notre Dame's offense to click. Again, a lot depends upon that wide receiver core and the group of the two that I mentioned that have a high upside. You know, I'm going to be a little bit cautious in how many points I pick with the new configuration at guard, but I think Notre Dame has success. Triple option teams that like to throw the football more, what generally ends up happening is they still don't throw it very well, and it negatively impacts their triple option. So I expect Notre Dame's defense to be well prepared for this, in accord with what we said about having the extra time in the preseason to prepare for Navy. I'm going to be fairly cautious. The point spread's 21. I'm going to go with Notre Dame 41, Navy 13.
Notre Dame 41, Navy 13. That is Tim Priester's world-famous Irish Illustrator prediction. Tim, I just really like the Notre Dame veteran linebackers against the Navy option. That's critical against the option. And the ability of Sam Hartman to handle pressure scheme, anything that comes his way. Between that and having a running back like Audric Estime and some of those guys off the bench on that depth chart, I just think the Irish roll in this game. I'm taking Notre Dame 38, Navy 10. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovlin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.
The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba presents the 27th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill kickoff with your host, Phil Hauk.
In 2012, Notre Dame opened the season in Dublin, Ireland against Navy. ND dominated that game. Everett Golson, Theo Riddick, Tyler Eifert, Lewis Nix, Stefan Tuitt, and Manti Te'o. The Irish in 2012 were loaded with talent. Tuitt scored on a 65-yard scoop and score. The Irish rushed for 293 yards and 4 TDs, and the defense held Navy that day to 149 yards rushing. ND blew the midshipmen out 50-10. That blowout was a sign of good things to come. The 2012 team went on to a perfect 12-0 regular season. By mid-November, ND was the number one ranked team in the nation, a status they held until falling to Alabama in the national title game. Last Saturday, the Irish were back in Dublin against Navy, and the similarities to 2012 are numerous. The Irish again were loaded with talent. Audric Estime, Jaden Greathouse, Jaden Thomas, Joe Alt, Jack Kaiser, Maris Leofau, and Sam Hartman. Hartman threw 4 TDs and showed just about everything ND fans had been hoping for. Leadership, escapability, decision-making, and accuracy. Hartman has a skill set not seen in these parts in a decade, or maybe three. And the Irish showed more than that. The offensive line with two newcomers gelled. Estime, with 95 yards and a TD, led a stable of runners. Freshman Jaden Greathouse notched his first ever receiving TD and his second, while 9 different receivers caught passes. Defensively, Maris Leofau and Jack Kaiser led a group that held Navy to 2.6 yards per carry and just 12 first downs. And just as they did in 2012, ND blew out the midshipmen, this time 42-3, to start a season in Dublin, Ireland. So what does this signal for the rest of 2023? Can this team approach the heights reached in 2012 and maybe go one step further? Last Saturday, the Irish showed practically everything that Irish fans had been dreaming of since the 2022 season was put to bed. Depth and athleticism on defense, a cohesive offensive line, emerging wide receivers, a deep and talented running back room, and Sam Hartman. And one other 2012 comparison may bode even better for 2023, because Everett Golson, with all due respect, in 2012, was no Sam Hartman. The Fighting Irish will face a challenging schedule in 2023. 6 teams in the top half of the ACC and 3 top 10 teams. Surviving such a slate unblemished like Indy did in 2012 has looked to be a long shot. But after a dominant start of the season and Sam Hartman, those odds are looking better, better, and better. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, now with locations on Illinois, Leo and DuPont Roads, and in Georgetown Square. Guadalupe's, food made fresh. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight from America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, Shear McCulloch Auctioneers, and Flight by Yingling, 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, it's the next generation of light beer. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation, and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
Flight by Yingling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yingling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment 6 generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yingling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yingling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Tim Priester, you know, just like 2012, another dominant win by the Irish over Navy in Ireland to open the season. In 2012, of course, Manti Te'o and company went on to be undefeated during the regular season, made it all the way to the national title game. Any comparisons come to mind between the Irish in 2012 and this year's team?
I don't know that I'm prepared to say that, Phil, other than you love it when you open the season and you're hitting on all cylinders, and Notre Dame certainly was that last Saturday. You know, you never know. You have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new special teams coach. You have a new quarterback who's pretty good, as it turns out, as we knew. But, you know, it just all clicked. And I thought the body language, the performance, they were ready to come out and be physical. You had two new guards starting, and they were both very aggressive. You're always worried about a team that stands around a little bit and gets caught up in the in emotion of the moment. But I thought they were ready to play. They were organized. The coaching staff had to do some ciphering there on the defensive side because Navy was doing a lot of things that they weren't prepared to do. So, I mean, I just think the first thing that comes to mind is, boy, were they ready to start the season. That was the same way 11 years ago.
Yeah, they were. And that was the most thing that stood out the most to me about the 2012 game, and I was in Dublin for that one as well. Two differences that I see, and one is quarterback play. I mean, as I said off the top of this show, with all due respect to Everett Golson, Sam Hartman and Everett Golson are in different leagues. But the schedule, I think, in 2023 is going to be just a little bit tougher. So let's talk about the difference maker here, though, and that's Sam Hartman. His debut in blue and gold was outstanding, 18 of 23, 251 yards, 4 TDs. Tim, put the performance into context. When was the last time Notre Dame had a quarterback demonstrate such a skill set? He did everything, just about everything, correct?
Yeah, he really did. I mean, I guess you could say when Ian Book was in his third year as a starter, he knew what he was doing too. But this guy, Sam Hartman, he sees the field. That was always a problem with Ian Book. He couldn't see over his offensive line. I'm not sure that Hartman's that much taller than Ian Book, but the experience factor. And look, we saw this on film watching him at Wake Forest. We saw it in person during the preseason in July and August, where he goes through his progressions and he just knows where everybody is, where the ball should go, how much time he has. Who's available? Where are they? That's why I think we're going to see a lot of receptions for guys like Chris Tyree and Matt Salerno underneath, and then the running backs. He's about as polished as you can be, and he now has well over 3,000 college snaps, and it certainly showed itself last Saturday.
Yeah, 3,000 college snaps, and you'll learn a little bit about the game, and Hartman really demonstrated that. I thought about Ian Book too, because Ian Book was such a winner. But in many of those occasions that we saw last Saturday where Hartman was going through his progressions, Ian Book would have tucked the ball and ran and taken 5 yards. So big difference between those two skill sets there. You know, Brady Quinn was really good. Jimmy Clausen had some really great games. But Sam Hartman, lots of fun to watch. I think it's going to be a lot of fun moving forward for the rest of the year. Tim, how did the new play calling operation work? New offensive coordinator, Jared Parker, he was upstairs. Quarterback coach Gino Gadulli, he was prominent down on the field, relaying information during breaks and play. How did that operation seem to work on day one?
It appeared to be very efficient. You know, when I got home and then had an opportunity to watch the TV version of it, everything, the communication seemed to be very calm. That is one thing that Gino Gadulli is. He is a very calm man on the football field. And of course, he's hooked up with Jared Parker upstairs, and it just all worked. There were no, you know, one time it's almost like Sam Hartman feels like he has to apologize for calling a timeout as the clock is winding down in the second half. But again, that's because he's so experienced and so confident in his abilities that he figures to work his way out of every issue before he has to call a timeout. I thought Jared Parker, I don't want to overstate it, because it was Navy and they physically manhandled them, but we've seen times where Notre Dame hasn't done that, like the second half of the Navy game last year. So I thought Jared Parker was, I talked to him on Tuesday. He said, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say I had some nerves, but you just feel such an overwhelming sense of responsibility to the university, to your players, to the fans. Everybody, I thought he was great. You know, and Navy did not have very many answers for Notre Dame's offense, and Sam Hartman, you know, leading them on 5 touchdown drives, just like the Blue Gold game. I mean, 8 of the first 9 drives that Sam Hartman wore a Notre Dame uniform and was on TV led them to touchdowns going back to the spring. So really, really efficient, well communicated. Nice job by Jared Parker. Step one.
Yeah, an offensive attack that is so balanced, and not something Notre Dame has seen for a while. And part of that balance is something that Notre Dame has had over the years, and that's a good running game. And the running game just looks to be really extraordinary. 5 running backs got into the action. The Irish racked up 191 yards total. Tim, how much of this is a tribute to that offensive line? We know about Alt, Correll, and Fisher, but how did the newcomers, Pat Coogan and Rocco Spindler, perform in their first starting games at guard?
I thought they did really well. I thought Pat Coogan was the more physical of the two, but he's a little bit bigger and a little bit older. And yet Rocco Spindler, you know, again, as I said at the beginning, you put a guy in for the first time, and sometimes the moment can be too big. It wasn't. They were aggressive. You know, with an offensive lineman, when in doubt, keep moving and hit somebody, right? And that's what those two did. And you know, you can look at the touchdown run by Jadarian Price. That was clearly opened up by Alton Coogan. I think the left side will be the side that Notre Dame prefers, which was the case last year with Patterson and Alt, certainly. You know, the running backs ran hard behind that offensive line. It's so hard. We can critique individuals. I think when you go to the receiving corps, you can critique individuals, but as a unit, you know, this offensive line came out ready to play, and the running backs ran hard. And, you know, the 191 yards rushing is really kind of deceiving because, you know, that was more of a 250-yard type performance type effort from the offensive line.
Yeah, when you play Navy, the game's a little shorter, so the stats sometimes look skewed, but they ran to their heart's content. And talking about those receivers, 9 overall caught passes. Jaden Greathouse, 2 touchdowns in his freshman year debut, including the first pass reception of his career. That's all good stuff. Jaden Thomas looked good. Deion Colsey got into the action, didn't play a lot of snaps, but made them count with 3 catches. So some guys emerging there. But who can be the deep threat here, Tim? And, of course, you know what I'm getting at, and that's Tobias Merriweather. He was not one of those 9 guys that caught a pass.
Yeah, I feel like every time I talk about Notre Dame's offense, I'm pounding on Tobias Merriweather, and it's a little bit unfair. He's just he barely played last year. The one time he caught a pass, it was a 41-yard touchdown against Stanford, and he started out slowly against Navy this year. He had, you know, again, a credit to Jared Parker. Gives him a chance to get his feet wet. You know, fourth play of the game, they throw him. He's part of a trips to the right. They throw the ball to him underneath, and he just doesn't catch the football. And then a deep ball in the end zone that Sam Hartman underthrew, but you'd like to see Merriweather just be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more forceful. But, you hope he gets there. He's a true talent. He is the deep threat. Colsey played well. He did a great job. I'm not sure I would call him a deep threat because he's a bigger guy. But Merriweather, he needs to step up. If he doesn't, Rico Flores, a freshman, will start to get more reps. But we're being nitpicky here because just about everybody excelled.
Well, this week's game against Tennessee State might be a good time for Merriweather to finally get started. Defensively, ND shut down Navy really well in the first half and just seemed to get stronger in the second. Jack Kaiser, 8 tackles. Maris Leofau, 7. The linebacking core was outstanding. And I thought it interesting this week, and it was something that I was noticing watching in detail every play of the game. Defensive coordinator Al Golden confirmed, and as you had reported on IrishIllustrated.com this week, that Navy threw a whole bunch of stuff and formations at the Irish that they had not seen before. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we look at it, you know, from the amateur's eye and say, oh, well, they only threw it 6 times, so their offense wasn't much different. That couldn't be any further than the truth. And it's nuanced. But the game is nuanced today. It's not like Lou Holtz's team's lining up and hammering you. It's very nuanced. And they knew right from the beginning that Navy was doing some different things with their fullbacks. There were 2 fullbacks on the field at once, which immediately tells you that things are a little bit haywire here. Yeah, I thought the linebackers played great. Leofau Bertrand and Kaiser were really, really good. I was talking to Kaiser on Tuesday, and you know, he talked about all the things that they prepared for, and then they didn't get those looks in the game. And I said, but didn't all that preparation help you adjust to those different looks? And he said, 100%. So there's something to be said for that. They were well-schooled, and when things went a little bit haywire, they had something to fall back on. And again, I think this comes down to, for the first time in a few years, Notre Dame has a defensive coordinator that's been there for 2 years. You're talking about the same language. I know people hear that, and they think it's coach speak, but it's true. When you're going from Clark Lea to Marcus Freeman to Al Golden, there are adjustments that have to be made, and I think the ability to make those adjustments against Navy is a reflection of Al Golden being there second year and having a very, very smart linebacking core.
Right, absolutely. Credit that smooth operation by the coaching staff of adjusting to some continuity in that position at defensive coordinator. Tim, now back in the States, the chaos of covering a season gets a little more organized because this is all just organized chaos. How do you feel about playing games 3,614 miles away from home? And any particular lasting memories from Dublin?
Well, it's the third time I've been there, Phil. And this was the best for me because Irish Illustrated was so involved with what we did during the week. We had 2 events that Len Clark organized for us. One was a really interesting one, a whiskey tasting event with Irish Illustrated involved on Thursday night. And then Friday we did our podcast from the bar in Dublin, and it was just great. Had a, you know, probably more than any, I can't think of a road game where our staff mixed with Notre Dame fans as much as we did. Of course, we got there earlier than we normally do, but it was just it was a great event. Notre Dame fans were out, and it is definitely the most memorable of my three trips to Dublin.
It was just fantastic. My second time there, and I just loved it. I love playing games like this. It was a home game, but again, it was 3,614 miles away. And those events were fun. I was at them as well that you mentioned, and it was fun meeting fans and meeting all the Notre Dame people. Tim, one last quick hit. I'm hearing that Notre Dame might be planning another game somewhere in the Europe or someplace far, far away in the near future. Have you heard any rumors about this?
I don't have anything specific, but I think we all believe that the next time Notre Dame goes overseas, Rome, Italy would be an appropriate place for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame to play a football.
Well, let's start that rumor as well. In fact, maybe I had heard that from you, and that's why I'm telling people that, hey, this is just kind of a rumor, but it could happen. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 384th edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Sharon McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Shearer McCulloch comes in with a full service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Shearer McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Shearer McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Shearer McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus their AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Shearer McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Ed Too Tall Jones and Richard Dent are both products of Tennessee State. So is Oprah Winfrey, class of 1986. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment 6 generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The number 13-ranked Irish are at home against the Tennessee State University Tigers this week. TV coverage on NBC starts at 3:30 p.m. South Bend time, and it's now time for the all-time Irish hero, brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage. Chris Craft, Mastercraft, Vanderbilt, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. And this week we start a series on the top ND defensive players of the last 20 years. First up, a player who excelled at two positions for the Irish, linebacker and safety, Harrison Smith. Born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee, Harrison Smith was a three-sport star in high school, a two-way player on the football field, and Gatorade Football Player of the Year in Tennessee in 2006. As a four-star recruit, he turned down offers from the likes of Alabama and his hometown, Tennessee Volunteers, to come to South Bend and play for Charlie Weiss. Redshirted as a freshman in 2007, he went on to have a major impact on the Irish defense for the next four seasons. As a sophomore, he started at linebacker for 9 games and recorded 57 tackles, including 8.5 for loss, and had 3.5 sacks. The next season, he split time between strong safety and linebacker and recorded 69 more tackles, including 6.5 for loss in 12 starts. By his senior year in 2010, now playing for Brian Kelly, he settled in at strong safety and was second only to Manti Te'o with 93 tackles, and he led the team with an impressive 7 interceptions. Smith came back for a graduate season in 2011, and he again was second to Te'o, this time with 91 tackles, including 3 for loss, 2 forced fumbles, and 10 pass breakups. He was so respected by his teammates and the coaching staff that he was selected as that season's only captain, a rare honor in the modern era. Smith went on to be a first-round NFL draft pick in 2012 with the Vikings and is now in his 12th season in Minnesota. Tim, when I think of Harrison Smith, I recall how it seemed to take a while to find his best position at Notre Dame, and I also think about his leadership skills.
Yeah, he really struggled at outside linebacker. It wasn't a natural fit for him, and they needed him on the field, and it was the most appropriate thing to do at the time. But when he moved to safety, he really found his footing. Yeah, absolute leader, quiet leader, not a real outspoken guy. I always laugh when I would talk to his teammates and they'd call him Harry. It just seemed so out of place. I always knew him as Harrison, but what a humble, grounded, just a great all around person who I really one of my favorite players that I've covered in this century, with an excellent chance, I think, as he goes down the stretch of his NFL career to make it to the Hall of Fame. Just a quality young man and a real Notre Dame man.
And he's gone on to do well, that's for certain. And Harrison Smith, interestingly enough, was named after actor Harrison Ford. Harrison Smith, another Marine at Lake Age all-time Irish hero. And it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish Victory. The Tennessee State Tigers are coming off a 4-7 season. They are coached by former Ohio State and NFL star running back Eddie George, who is now in his third season at the helm. Located in Nashville, Tennessee, it's a historically black university that plays in the Ohio Valley Conference at the FCS level. This game marks the first time ever Notre Dame has played a school outside the FBS. The Tigers return 11 starters from a year ago, 5 on offense, 6 on defense. At quarterback, they'll rely on senior Draylen Ellis, who transferred in from Austin Peay 2 seasons ago. Ellis threw for 1,806 yards and 8 TDs against 6 interceptions a year ago. Overall, the Tigers have utilized the transfer portal extensively and have rebuilt their offensive line by replacing both guards and both tackles. That was a unit that last year gave up a whopping 37 sacks, the worst mark in the Ohio Valley Conference. Their leading rusher from a year ago, Jalen Rouse, who had 648 yards and 2 TDs, returns in an offense that averaged just 18.3 points per game. The Tigers' top returning pass catcher is sophomore Karate Brenson, who had 25 catches, good for 329 yards and a touchdown, for an offense that just managed 10 total touchdown passes in 2022. On the defensive side of the ball, Tennessee State has shown some strength. Their pass defense with returning starters was tops in the conference. They boast a couple of pass rushing defensive ends in conference first team selection, Terrell Allen and Jalen Bella, a transfer from Mississippi Valley State. Also look for solid play out of two brothers, linebacker James Green, who is back after missing last season due to injury, and safety Josh Green, who led the Tigers with 3 interceptions. The transfer portal introduces an element of the unknown in analyzing this matchup. In fact, Tennessee State has 34 players in 2023 who at some point played for other college football programs. That said, the disparity in talent level between the Tigers and the Irish is profound. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
The interesting thing, Phil, is a lot of time when we talk about transfers, you know, this goes in the opposite direction. Here's what I mean by that. They have 2 offensive linemen from Central Michigan that have transferred in there. That means that they weren't playing at Central Michigan and they wanted to come to a place where they could get on the field. So the key to this, I mean, this is, there's a disparity most definitely along the offensive and defensive line. The key to this is winning the line of scrimmage, and Notre Dame, they will do that this Saturday.
just win the line of scrimmage, something the Irish did really well against Navy. That is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
I'm going to stick up front there, Phil. The Tennessee State offensive line really struggled keeping people out of their backfield. As you mentioned, they gave up 37 sacks. And so my pick to click this week is Jordan Botello, along with the rest of the defensive line. But I think Jordan Botello is in a really nice situation to get a sack or two. And those won't be the only two that the defensive line gets, I suspect. That Notre Dame's going to win this battle in the trenches, and I like the defensive line really excelling this weekend against the Tigers.
Jordan Botello, and he is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the injury report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into game two? At least one casualty from the Navy game.
Yeah, that was Gabe Rubio, one of Notre Dame's interior defensive linemen. It happened on the sack that he helped create for Josh Burnham. It's not overly serious, but it will keep him out of this week's game and probably NC State as well. Tight end Eli Raridan is getting closer. He actually dressed for the game, but he won't be ready. And I'm not sure this has been spread around too much, and I'm not sure the extent of it, but I know that Drake Bowen, the freshman linebacker, got dinged a little bit. I don't know if it's a concussion where he is on that, but he got dinged a little bit in the Navy game, and I'm not quite sure about his availability this weekend.
Okay. Overall, though, a pretty good report for the Irish. Let's hope that Gabe Rubio is back in time for Ohio State. Maybe that would sound good to me. Thanks, Tim. And that is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report. And it's now time for the world-famous IrishIllustrated.com prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, this one is off the board with Vegas. That tells us something right off the top. What does America's foremost authority predict for the ND Tennessee State game?
Well, it's, you know, I think we're going to see something similar to last week, and then Notre Dame should jump off to an early lead, and then it gives them an opportunity to play a lot of players. But I really don't see Tennessee State being able to score much. In fact, I don't even think Tennessee State is going to score this weekend. I have Notre Dame 48 and Tennessee State 0.
Notre Dame 48. Tennessee State 0. That is Tim Preacher's world famous IrishIllustrated.com prediction. Tim, I think, you know, there's going to be a double in letdown. It's the way humans are built, but Notre Dame is so much better than, and don't get me wrong about what I'm about to predict, Notre Dame is so much better than Tennessee State at every position that they're going to get the job done, and hopefully Steve Angeli gets to see some extended action. But I think Tennessee State will break through. Notre Dame 45, Tennessee State 7. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovlin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.